Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IMS Cloning Tool, Faster Automated IMS Cloning and Refresh Operations. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how the IMS Cloning Tool automates, simplifies, and speeds up IMS system cloning and database refresh operations while reducing administration and processing costs. The speakers for today's presentation are Margaret Wilson, IMS Tools Market Manager, IBM Software Group Information Management, and Kelly Smith, Product Manager, Rocket Software. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, Margaret Wilson.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another exciting IMS Tools teleconference call. Today, as you heard, we're going to cover the IMS cloning tool. And as speakers and subject matter experts today, we've got the best people available, best people around to know the product with us. Speaking today will be Kelly Smith, and she's the product manager for IBM IMS cloning tool. She's also been involved with the DB2 cloning tool and IMS audit management expert products. A lot of you may know Kelly. She's one of our regular speakers at IBM Share, our DB2 user groups, and also the Information on Demand Technical Conference in Las Vegas. Kelly will be joining us again this year in October in Las Vegas for the IoD Tech Conference. Now, joining Kelly at the end of the session for questions and answers is Ron Basilica, and he's the lead software developer at Rocket Software. And Ron's been working with IMS for over 23 years with a large range of support of individual IMS tools, specifically development of database reorganization utilities, data propagation tools, replication, backup, and recovery products. So with that, I'm going to turn you over to the experts. And Kelly, welcome. Good morning. And the call's all yours.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning, everyone. If you would turn to slide 2 in the PDF that was attached to the webcast, I'll go through the slides today. So the agenda is that first I'll be talking about some trends and directions of storage-aware products and their advantages for high-availability solutions. You'll hear me mention the word storage-aware several times throughout this presentation today, and I'll introduce you to what that is. We'll also talk about cloning terminology so that you understand when I talk about cloning IMS systems or refreshing databases what I'm talking about, just so that we're all on the same page because there's many uses of those terms. And then I'll get into some of the use cases for cloning IMS systems and databases so that you understand what you can do when you clone IMS systems quickly or refresh databases quickly other than just refreshing test environments. We'll also briefly talk about some traditional copy and cloning methods just to compare to IMS cloning tool. And then I'll be talking about different options for copying data like fast replication versus some of the traditional copy utilities that are available to use. And then I'll get into cloning IMS systems by volume. We'll get into the details of that. And then I'll also get into the details of refreshing IMS databases by data set. So if you would move on to slide 3. Now, we all know that large DB2 and IMS systems require high availability. But to achieve that, you need fast and non-intrusive backup, recovery, and cloning facilities. And that's because you need to minimize the downtime and promote that high availability. Now, fast replication provides a fast copy, but most backup, recovery, and cloning solutions don't leverage storage-based fast replication facilities. Storage-based fast replication facilities allow data to be copied quickly, very fast, and without affecting running applications. So these copy processes are offloaded to the storage processor to do the copy, and they don't use the host CPU and I/O resources that traditional copy methods do. So typically, storage-based fast replication tools like IBM Flash Copy, EMC TimeFinder Clone, or EMC TimeFinder Snap, HDS Shadow Image, these have been used by the storage organizations and not traditionally by database administrators. And there's a number of reasons for that, and it depends on your company. But generally, the storage administrators kind of hold that close to the vest because you can easily wipe out a volume using fast replication if it's not used correctly. And typically, the DBAs don't know storage. I mean, they're too busy managing databases, and their expertise is in the database area. And when you use fast replication without what I consider these storage-aware utilities, the storage administrators might be concerned that a UCB is typed in incorrectly. And so there's a number of things that they're concerned with, and so they kind of hold that tight to the vest, if you will. What we've done is we've developed storage-aware data management tools, and that these tools integrate with storage-based fast replication facilities with the data management systems to provide fast and non-intrusive DB2 and IMS cloning and system-level backup solutions for DB2 that allow the DBAs to use fast replication in a safe and transparent manner. So what we've done is we provide both SMS Storage Group and VolSphere Masks as a way to identify the source and the target volumes, which, by the way, when you're cloning IMS systems, it would be by volume, and when you're refreshing databases, it's by data set. So by providing the SMS Storage Group and the VolSphere Masks as a way to identify the source and the target volumes, it isn't really any different than the storage team providing you with a group of storage that they would today to enable you to allocate data sets. They don't have to worry that a UCB address is accidentally typed in, for example, and neither do the database administrators. So the storage team assigns an SMS storage group or provides you with VolSphere masks, and then the product executes the fast replication using those. And in addition, there's also simulate capabilities that provide the exact volumes that you're working with. So this gives the storage administration group some confidence that what they're providing you with will be used in the manner that they want it to be used in. And it also gives the database administrators the confidence that they can clone IMS systems and refresh databases using fast replication without having the storage administrators do that piece of it. Now, these products, which include IMS cloning tool, they speed up and they simplify cloning, backup recovery, and disaster recovery options. If you go to slide 4, now these storage-aware tools, including IMS tools, they allow us to intersect what is typically the application domain, if you see that in the top circle there, with the DBA functions in the storage administration and the business continuity domain in the bottom circle there, because it's storage aware. So it drives the fast replication process to perform the clones or the backups and the restore and recovers, which helps integrate the two organizations. On slide 5, now there's a lot of advantages surrounding storage-aware cloning or DB2 and IMS system-level backup methodologies using fast replication facilities. They simplify these facilities by using automation to coordinate the database systems operations with the storage-based fast replication facilities. So that's what I've been talking about so far, is the storage-aware piece that helps the DBAs execute fast replication safe and transparently. Now, another thing that is huge is it offloads the data copy process to the storage processors to save the whole CPU, I/O, and storage resources. Now, typically, in a survey that I did a couple years ago, and it had about 26 to 30 respondents, I was trying to get an idea of how customers are cloning IMS systems today and how long it takes. And it usually takes, on average, 6 to 10 hours, even longer, depending on the large environments. Now, if you think about that, If you're saving all of the host CPU and I/O, and the majority of that is the copy process, then you can imagine the hundreds of thousands of dollars you would be saving just in the CPU I/O and storage resources alone. Now, DB2 and IMS systems can be cloned, or they can be backed up instantaneously. We'll talk about what I mean by instantaneously later in the slide set, and without affecting running applications. And I'll get into these details a little bit later. Database systems or application databases or application table and index spaces can also be restored instantaneously using storage processor fast replication facilities. So you can restore it instantaneously and then in parallel run the restoration process. That would be applying the logs to minimize the recovery time and also to reduce that application time. So you'll see that there's a lot of advantages in both cloning and backup and recovery. Now, these storage integrated products, they leverage any of the storage-based fast replication facilities from the leading mainframe storage vendors like IBM, EMC, and also HDS. And then expose those fast replication facilities to the DB2 and IMS database administrators safe and transparently. Okay, on slide 6, let's just go through the cloning terminology. So a clone is an exact replica. And when I'm talking about cloning an IMS system, I'm talking about cloning an IMS system and all of its databases, and that would be cloned by volume or copied by volume. And then cloning an IMS database, I will be talking about in terms of refreshing an IMS database, and that's by data set. So an IMS system cloning and database refresh is the act of replicating the data, making that replicated data accessible, and then using the replica in lieu of the original data. IMS system cloning automation clones a complete IMS system, including all of its databases, and IMS database refresh automation refreshes specific databases. Moving on to the next slide, slide 7. Now, there's actually a lot of use cases for cloning both IMS systems and refreshing IMS databases. And they're probably not all listed on here because we've had customers that have come up with all different kinds of use cases. But a big one is to offload some of the business reporting to an IMS clone to reduce any performance impacts that you might be having on production. Instead of running all of the reports using the production databases, why not clone that data very quickly and then use the clone as the source for the batch reporting, for example. If you have users that need to query data, it might be good to have them use a clone to be able to query the data instead of using production. The same with the pointer checker utility. It's resource intensive and some of the things that it does. You might think about the possibility of running some of the pointer checker functionality over on the clone just to reduce the performance impact on production. A more common one, create or refresh test development or quality assurance environments. And the reason I say that's more common is because customers are doing that today repeatedly for development or to stage data warehouse loads. This is just a much faster way to get the data over to the test environment or to stage that data warehouse load so you don't have users waiting. Another way that you can use it is to aid in problem determination. So let's just say you're having a production problem. Just quickly copy that data over to the test environment. Fix the problem and copy it back. You might want to use it to test new releases of IMS because you'll have an exact copy of your production environment at that point in time. And so then you could upgrade it to the new IMS release and find out and do your testing there. Just regular maintenance. You could clone the IMS system, apply the maintenance, and verify the integrity before actually applying it to the production environment. So there's a lot of use cases here. And then the last one is to refresh databases into a previously cloned IMS skeleton. I'll talk about that one a little bit later so it makes sense in the context of what we're talking about. So let's move to slide 8. Now, I just wanted to look at how users are cloning IMS subsystems today. And a lot of you are already familiar with these concepts, but I just want to point out a few things. So if you're cloning IMS subsystems today, this process is usually thought of today as copying an IMS subsystem. And there's a number of ways to do it, but one way to do this is to do full volume dumps of the volumes where the production or the source IMS subsystem resides, and then restore those volume dumps on a different or different system or LPAR. Now, the reason that these have to be restored on a different or separate LPAR is that they wouldn't be accessible on the same LPAR without restoring to different volume serials, renaming and recataloging the data sets, and then updating the IMS internal information. So you can see that you're restricted to recovering it somewhere else, to an isolated LPAR, and that may not be an ideal situation for you. Now, this process also copies the data twice, so it's doing a dump and then it's doing a restore, and it's time-consuming, plus it's also using high CPU and I/O costs. Now, it is possible to reduce some of the costs of copying an entire IMS subsystem by copying just certain data sets that make up the entire IMS subsystem, such as just the volumes that contain the database data sets. But if the entire IMS subsystem is not copied or cloned to the test LPAR, then you could run into some additional steps that need to be done to make sure that the production and test LPARs are in sync in order to make sure that the copied data sets are usable. So if you already have an IMS system installed and available, as an example, using one of the methods above, in this scenario, you would have to make sure that when maintenance was applied to your production environments, also applied to test. And this is especially true when upgrading to a new IMS version. And then there's also some additional work of keeping the ACB libraries, the program libraries, et cetera, in sync between the production and test environments. So when a change is introduced to production, then it should be made to test. And then finding the cause of any problems seen with any of these ACB libs and programs or the actual database structure that differs can be difficult and time-consuming. So with the current options, my point that I'm trying to make is you're still limited to one copied subsystem per LPAR, and if you want to create an additional IMS subsystem, you have to go through a full sysgen and configuration, which you don't have to when you're cloning IMS systems with IMS cloning tool. And you're also copying the data twice, which is resulting in high CPU and I/O costs. And I know that a lot of companies are trying to reduce those costs these days. All right, let's go to slide 9. Now, let's look at how users are refreshing IMS databases. There's typically two methods that can be used to copy data between production and test. And one is to take an image copy from a production database and then use the recovery utility to restore it in a test environment. So the point I want to make here, again, is that the data is copied twice, once for the image copy and once for the restore, plus any rebuilding of the indexes. So this solution can be definitely costly in time and also resources. Even if you do an image copy as part of your batch processes, just the whole process of having to restore it is using additional CPU and I/O costs. Now, the second option is to unload the production data and then reload it into the test environment. Now, as you know, The unload and load method is much slower than an image copy followed by the recovery. And again, the data is copied twice. It's resource intensive. And compared to IMS cloning tool, you're using a fast replication method, so you're copying it once. The data is not using the CPU and I/O because that's offloaded to the storage processor, and so the only changes are updating the metadata changes, and that's very quick and not I/O intensive. So let's move on to slide 10. Let's just talk about some of the fast replication data copy options that you can use to copy IMS systems or IMS databases over to another environment for use for any of the use cases that I mentioned earlier or any of the use cases that you may be using today using traditional methods. So I want to mention one more time that when I'm talking about IMS system cloning and all of its databases, we'll be talking about a volume-based fast replication option. Now, you could, in fact, use a slow copy, but, of course, if you did use the slow copy, then you're running into the additional costs of the CPU, I/O, and resources. So IMS cloning tool supports flash copy, so you could use flash copy available from IBM, EMC, or HDS. Snapshot, EMC TimeFinder clone volume snap, or TimeFinder snap. Or you could do some on-site mirror processes like PPRC, which is usually thought of in terms of disaster recovery. But you could actually do a PPRC source and target from one box to another and create an on-site copy of the data, if you will. You could use TimeFinder, Mirror, SRDF, Shadow Image as well. Use these traditional disaster recovery copies on-site to create the mirror. And you just establish a mirror relationship, wait till the data is copied over to the target, and then you would start the process of using those target volumes on the same or shared LPAR using IMS cloning tool because it would have to do a number of things to prepare those target volumes for your use. And then when we're talking about data-based, data-set-based fast replication options, this is for refreshing just select databases over to test, over to your clone. If you want to refresh certain databases, you can do that. And you can use dataset flash copy, dataset snapshot, and then EMC has a dataset snap as well. Now, on slide 11, there are some host-based data copy options as well. So if you don't have fast replication in your environment, a lot of sites do, but on occasion there's a site that doesn't. There's some slower copy processes, but of course you have to realize that it will use the CPU and the I/O facilities there. But you could use TDMF from IBM. And TDMF, you may be aware that TDMF is often thought of in terms of migrating data from disk, from older disk to new disk, non-disruptively. So it actually moves the data over to the new disk non-disruptively, but it can also copy the data from your production over to another set of volumes as well. And it kind of works like the PPRC mirror or those types of mirror facilities where you would establish the relationship, copy all the data over to the target volumes. And then after that data is copied and when your point in time is achieved, like whenever you want your point in time copy to be, then you would split that relationship. And so some companies are using TDMF to copy the data, but it does use the CPU and I/O, the host-based CPU and I/O. FDR PAWS can be used from innovation data processing or the traditional copy utilities like IBM DFSMS DSS or the innovation FDR copy utility. And then for dataset copy options, obviously fast replication is preferred for any of these, but if you want to do a slower copy, and there are still some advantages in doing that, especially with HALDB databases, then you can use any traditional dataset copy, and IMS cloning tool will still fix up all of the metadata items associated with the data that you're copying. And let's go to slide 12. When you're cloning IMS systems, we talked about that you would be cloning those by volume. And the reason that you can't just do a dump and a restore on the same LPAR is because you end up with two volumes that are exactly the same, and one is going to, the target volumes are going to go offline. Now, what IMS cloning tool can do is fix all of those problems. But first, let's look at what the problems are. So there's several problems. The vol seers could have the same vol seer names as the source or production, whatever your source would be. It actually could be anything. It doesn't have to be production. You could clone off of test if you wanted to create many test environments, especially using some of the space-efficient replication facilities that are available. So if you had those same vol seers, then it would go offline. You could have the volume VTOC, the VTOC index and VVDS may be the same as the target or different, depending on how fast replication was executed. And the data set names obviously are the same as the source, and they're already cataloged in the ICF catalog. So if you want to access the data from a common LPAR, how do you access the data? And that's what I'm going to be going through in the next couple of slides. So in slide 13, if you look on the left side, this is the source volumes. It could be production. It could be tests that you're cloning. But in this case, I'm using a production IMS 01 volume, just one volume for right now. There could be thousands of them. And we're cloning those over to the target volumes. When you do that, in this case, this slide shows an example of on the left-hand side, the source volume, and on the right-hand side, the target volume. And I want you to note that the target volume label, which is PIMS01, and then the VTOC and VVDS, which are in the disk volume, they're all identical to the source volume. So in this case, the target volume is offline and cannot be used on the same or shared LPAR without doing some things to it. Now on slide 14, another use of fast replication is when you're copying the volumes. If you look on the right-hand side, you'll see that the target volume label is different than the source volume label. So in this case, the target volumes or volumes are online, but still you have the VTOC, the VTOC index, the VVDS. They all have the same names as the source or the production in my example. And you can't easily just change those names because within the VTOC index and the VVDS, there's a lot of records in there. So like the VVDS has VVR records, NVR records, VSAM records, all kinds of things are in there. So all of that has to change, and the data set names that are in those have to change. And then, of course, on slide 15, we also have the data set names are also on those target volumes, but they're already cataloged. And they're exact duplicates of the source because you did a fast replication copy, which is like an exact clone, and they're already cataloged. So let's move to slide 16. So IMS cloning tool solves all of these problems, and it provides the key to the data access on the same or shared LPAR. And what it does is it makes sure that the target volume labels are unique. So they are not the same as the production volume labels or the source volume labels where you would be cloning from. And so it makes sure that those target volumes are unique so that they can be online. And then it actually renames the VTOC index, and the VVDS to match the target volume label, because that's what they need to do. It goes into the VTOC and the VVDS, and it changes all of the internal records. And also it renames and catalogs all of the data sets on those volumes and within the VTOC and VVDS to a new high-level qualifier. And then it adjusts the target IMS system to accommodate and accept the clone data with the new names. There's a number of things that need to be done. Now, in doing this, I wanted to mention that IMS cloning tool has the base code that DB2 cloning tool does. And DB2 cloning tool has been on the market since 2001, and IMS cloning tool has been out there a couple of years. But my point is that this technology is proven technology. It's reliable technology. We can change all of these things, and you don't have to worry about, doing this, trying to do this manually with some type of utility. And I'm not even sure how you would be able to achieve that manually. So it's really the solution to enable you to use these data sets and these target volumes on the same image within just minutes. As a matter of fact, we just have an example of a customer that is cloning an IMS system, and they're spending, in their case, it's taking them an hour, but they're doing it every single night. And we've reduced that down to 5 minutes. And so the time that you can clone, it doesn't matter if it takes you 6 hours, 10 hours, we can still reduce that down to less than an hour. For the legal sake, I'll just say less than an hour, but it can be literally just minutes that it takes. All right, let's move to slide 17. What I want to do first, before we get into the details, is provide sort of a high-level overview of IMS system cloning automation and how it works. And so it leverages, it creates an IMS clone without you having to repeat the entire installation and system generation process. Okay, it leverages volume-based fast replication facilities to copy the data quickly. Now that's the preferred method. It can use slow methods as well, but if you want a fast clone, you would use fast replication facilities to copy the data, which then in turn speeds up the cloning process and then saves, the CPU and I/O resources. And then after the volumes have been copied, IMS cloning tool performs volume reconditioning on the copied volumes, so that they can be brought online. Now, that was renaming the VTOC index, that kind of thing, and the data sets, so that they can be brought online to the same or the different or a different LPAR, shared LPAR, solving the challenges discussed in the previous slides. Data set names are changed on the copied volumes, as I mentioned, so that they can be accessed from the cloned IMS system without any ICF catalog conflicts. And the volume reconditioning and the data set renaming processes are performed very quickly to reduce the overall cloning time. And then after the volumes are copied, reconditioned, and the data sets renamed, then the cloned IMS metadata needs to be adjusted to accommodate the copied data so that it knows about the new data set names. And volumes, if there's any volume references, et cetera. The IMS recons, the IMS proc libs, and the jobs libraries, the MDA members, et cetera, they need to be updated to reflect the new data set names in the cloned IMS system. So now we'll get into the details of how that works. Now, the first thing that you have to do, I'm on slide 18, is you have to do a one-time setup of the target IMS system. And this is basically the user creation of what the target subsystem will look like. So you have to determine what components and configuration options that you want on the clone. You have to create the Proc5 members in the source Proc5, because remember they're cloned, and then it will use the target Proc5 member from there on. And then also create the target IMS job members, et cetera, in the Proc5, in the IMS jobs data set. Now, by default, because the clone is an exact replica of the source, the clone would have the same components as the source, but you can pick and choose what you want your clone to look like. Okay, on slide 19, let's get into the details. Now, when you're looking at this slide, the left-hand side of the slide represents the source IMS. As I mentioned earlier, it could be production, it could be tests that you're copying multiple times for different groups. But in this case, I'll be using a production IMS system. And then on the right-hand side of the slide, this represents the target or the cloned IMS system. So let's go through the steps. Now, the disk volumes that make up the production IMS system have to be identified by using specific Volsir IDs, Volsir masks, or SMS storage groups. Now, what's most common is the Volsir mask or an SMS storage group. And you still have to work with your storage administrator to get the Volsir mask or the SMS storage group set up. They'll set that up for you, and then they'll just give you those. You can put those in the job. You can run the simulate so they're all comfortable with it, and you're also comfortable with it. And then you can go from there. Now, to gain a static copy of your data, which is what you need when you want to clone an IMS system, and also you want a static copy of the source ICF catalogs, because there's some information in the ICF catalogs that are required to rename data sets that aren't on the disk volume, like VSAM sphere information or GDG base information. So you need to get a static copy of your data and your source ICF catalog options. And there's a couple of ways to do that. First of all, IMS is up. You don't need to bring it down, but you could bring it down to get a static copy of your data if you want to. But we're assuming that most sites will not want to do this. So the first option is that IMS is up and there's the IMS log is suspended. Now, you're probably thinking, what do you mean it's suspended? Now, this is actually proprietary code that is in IMS cloning tool, and it works similarly to the way that DB2's log suspend command works. So it's suspending IO to the log for the brief second that it takes for the flash copy to occur. Now, the other way that you can achieve a static copy of the data is you would use either the IBM Flash Copy, the IBM Flash Copy Manager, or the EMC Consistency Group support, which makes sure that all of the volumes are consistent across all of the volumes that are going to be copied. Now, with either of these techniques, IMS cloning tool immediately invokes the DSS copy to issue IBM Flash Copy or Snapshot commands to copy the data instantly, and then back up the ICF catalogs that point to the data sets being copied. So in parallel, it's copying, it's doing the ICF catalog backups. And then if you're using, volumes that reside on EMC disk or Hitachi storage systems, then that storage-based fast replication process is actually performed before the IMS cloning tool automation is invoked. And the list of copied storage volumes is then passed to IMS cloning tool. So it's still an automated process, but for right now, if you're using EMC or HDS, not the flash copy version that they have, then you would just do the copy outside of that. Now, once the copy is complete, which is in seconds, then IMS Cloning Tool can resume the source log as well. And at this point, we're done using the production IMS system. Now, the following steps are then performed on the target or the cloned IMS system, shown on the right-hand side of the slide. So step five is that the data sets on the target volumes are renamed and cataloged to a new high-level qualifier, and they're renamed to eliminate any duplicate data set names from an ICF catalog perspective, and also to allow the new data set names to be integrated into the cloned IMS system, and so that you can also use it on the same or shared LPAR. The cloned IMS data sets can then be used on the same or shared LPAR at that point. Now, the next step is to update the cloned IMS system data sets with the new names and the vol series, and I'll show you what's updated in the cloned IMS when we get to the next slide. And then at this point, the cloned IMS system is then started and can be used to run offload or application activity work. Now, on the next couple of slides, you can think of the target volumes as the target restart is essentially an emergency restart of a failed system. That's what happens when you're taking a consistent copy of the data. And all of that is handled by IMS Cloning Tool. Okay, so slide 21, let's get into the details of what is being updated in IMS so that we understand how the cloned IMS system can use those data sets. So we're updating the recon data sets, and there's quite a few things that are being updated, the data set names, the IMS subsystem IDs, and vol series are updated, and a number of the different recon records that are shown on this slide 21. And then there's some optional updates that can be done if they were on volumes that were cloned, like image copy records, system log data set, recovery log data set records, et cetera. And then on slide 22, we have a few more updates. The IMS proc lib and the jobs and the user JCL libraries need updates, so they're updated with new values for the IMS ID, the vol series, and data set names in the JCL members that are in these libraries. Also, the MDA members for databases or system data sets are updated. So they include the recon data sets, updates for the ELDS and the WADS. And then if data sharing is involved, each additional IMS data sharing member is updated. So you'll see on slide 23 that we support IMS offline cloning. When I say offline, I just mean that if you really want to shut IMS down, the source IMS down, and then take your copy to get a consistent copy, you can do that and then bring IMS back up. And then IMS online would be using the consistency methodology or the IMS log suspend. We support data sharing with many to less members, and also data sharing to non-data sharing. Okay, that concludes the IMS system cloning portion of the presentation. And now I'm going to move to slide 24 and talk about, first of all, just provide you an overview with database refresh automation and how that works. So when you're refreshing databases, IMS Cloning Tool will verify that the source and the target IMS databases that you have selected are compatible before it actually copies the data. It does leverage fast replication data set as opposed to volume. We're copying data sets now to copy the data quickly, and then it speeds up the refresh process, and again, because you're using fast replication, saves the host CPU and I/O resources. Now, you can, as I mentioned earlier, do a traditional copy without using fast replication if you so desire. Now, data can be copied while the source database is running or while it's stopped. So the next step is then to update the IMS metadata so that you can actually use the data that you've copied. Let's get into the details of this on slide 25. Again, on the left-hand side of the slide, this represents the source IMS, and in this case, it would be a production IMS system. And the right side of the slide represents the target IMS system, where you want to refresh the IMS system data to. Now, step one is actually on the target side. And in order to copy or refresh databases from production or your source over to test or your target, the target IMS databases need to be defined if they don't exist. And there's a couple of ways that you can do it. You can use it, do that using all of the traditional steps that you would today, or you could do that using an IMS clone database skeleton, which I will show you in the next slide when we get there. So that needs to be done, and then we're back on the production or the source side. So step two are the source databases that you want to refresh are selected by a database name. An IMS cloning tool finds the IMS subsystem name, and it determines if it's active, and then it finds the source and the target databases and indexes. And it determines the data set names for each of those and verifies their existence. Step three then, there's some checks that are performed to ensure that the characteristics of the source and the target IMS databases are compatible. So it gets the attributes of the IMS databases and the indexes from the source and the target recons, the ACB libs, and the MDA data sets. And then it checks to see if they're compatible. So some of the things that it checks are like the type, access method, number of segments, data set groups, block size, randomizer parameters, etc. And then in step four, now the source database, the source and the target databases are stopped. So there's a DBR command that's automated to stop these databases. Now, optionally, they can be copied while they're running to create a fuzzy copy. However, the fuzzy copy does not require transactional integrity of the refreshed copy. In a lot of cases, that may be okay, but I just wanted to point that out here. Now, step five, this is where the data sets are copied. So for sites that are using flash copy or snapshot, IMS cloning tool invokes these copy facilities by data set to copy them over to your target. And if you're using EMC or HDS, it'll produce the output files describing the source and the target data set information. So you just feed that into the EMC utility. And we will be providing some support for that in the future. But still, it can all be automated today. Now, step six, the source IMS databases are started after the copy is performed. Remember, it's fast replication in most cases, so it's just, you know, seconds. Unless a fuzzy copy option was specified, then you don't need to obviously start them if you never stop them. And then we'll move over now to the target IMS system, because now we're done with the production or the source IMS. So if the targets are registered to DBRC, IMS cloning tool updates the target IMS recons, and then step eight is that it starts the target databases, and then step nine, the refreshed IMS databases are now available for work. Now, if you remember here on slide 25, step one was to create the target IMS databases if they do not exist. Now, one way to do this is you could actually start with an IMS clone skeleton, database skeleton. And this is this requires I guess you could think of it as a cloned IMS skeleton can be created such that the IMS system contains all of the database definitions. So you could be doing like a system clone by volume, using just making sure that you've copied over all of the database definitions. And so you have like your clone IMS system all set to go with your database definitions, but you don't have the database data over there. So you've left out all of the database data because you're copying what you need by data set, right, the database by data set. So this is just one way to get those over there. Or you could just use the traditional method of creating those. And there is a simulate job. You can run the copy with simulate. As a matter of fact, all of the jobs have simulate capability, or a majority of them do. So you could just run the copy job with the simulate, and it will identify what target definitions don't exist over there so that you know what they are and can go ahead and create those. So I just included a couple of slides here, slide 27, so that you could see like the database selection. All you have to do is specify the database name, and it finds the rest of the information from the database name and provides the job with the actual data set name. So you don't have to know what those data set names are. You just have to plug in the databases that you're interested in copying. It finds out if they exist, if they're compatible, and then it does the copy. And then here on slide 28, a little bit more of a detailed list on what the compatibility is that is checked between the source and target IMS. And I'm sure that when you look at this list, you'll think this all makes sense, that these obviously need to be compatible for the target databases to work. And then on slide 29, I want to talk about the running the pointer checker utility on the clone for a minute. Now, as a database administrator, obviously you have to balance the value of running this in production and some of the effects that it can have on production versus running it from an IMS system clone. Now, there's several questions, obviously. You have to figure out what pointer checker utilities that you're running, and would it be more valuable to run it on the clone? How often are you running it, and what resources are you using to run it today? And, you know, then you can determine what the impact is to production and if that can be reduced by running that on a clone. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, when you're copying HALDB databases, if you've got those, you know that copying them can be complex. But IMS Cloning Tool makes copying the HALDB databases fast and easy because, first of all, it's using fast replication to copy the data instantly, so it's fast. And then second, it's updating the target IMS recon to reflect the same partition and reorg numbers as the source recon, and then the primary and secondary indexes in the ILDS can be copied as well to eliminate the index and ILDS rebuild time if you want, and it manages the whole partition number and gap sequencing. So it makes copying the HALDB databases much simpler. Okay, let's go to the session summarization on slide 31. So IMS Cloning Tool, it simplifies and it automates a database administration tasks so that the DBAs can concentrate on business critical work instead of spending, you know, hours to clone or refresh database environments. It integrates and it coordinates those database and storage activities using the storage-aware technology that we have in IMS Cloning Tool, same with the DB2 Cloning Tool, so that fast replication can be executed in a safe and transparent manner by the database administrators and that the storage administrators can loosen up their, divvying out who can use what. And in doing so, this is what helps the database administrators create those high availability solutions and also to reduce the CPU and I/O for their companies. It also integrates those to provide non-intrusive cloning and refresh operations so that you can use IMS cloning tool on the same or shared LPAR and that you can also keep IMS up while you're making a copy of the data quickly so that you do not have to bring IMS down, which obviously defeats any high availability solution and in most cases is not an option anyway. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to the operator for some polling questions, and then we'll have some questions and answers at the end of that, and I'll be available for that, and so will Ron Basilia. Operator?
Thank you, Margaret and Kelly. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a Q&A session with our presenter. Your feedback is very important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, star 1. Medium, star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, please press star 3. Question 3. When copying data, would you like to reduce your current IMS outage time? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And if you are not sure or need more information, press star 3. Again, when copying data, would you like to reduce your current IMS outage time? If yes, star 1. If no, star 2. Or if you are not sure or need more information, press star 3. Question 4. Does refreshing your IMS databases take too long? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And if you are not sure or need more information, press star 3. Again, question 4. Does refreshing your IMS databases take too long? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you are not sure or need more information, press star 3. Question 5. Do you have difficulties keeping your IMS production and test symptoms at the same level? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you are not sure or need more information, press star 3. Again, do you have difficulties keeping your IMS production and test systems at the same levels? Yes, press star 1. No, press star 2. And if you are not sure or need more information, star 3. And question 6. We hope you've enjoyed enjoyed today's teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you would like to receive more information, press star 1. If no info is desired at this time, press star 2. Again, we hope you enjoyed today's teleconference, and please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. Yes, star 1. And if no info is desired at this time, star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to our questions. To ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And at this time, I'll turn the call back over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
All right, great. So myself and Ron Basilia are on the call to answer any questions that you might have. Are there any questions today?
And there are no questions at this time. Again, it is star 1. We'll give everyone another opportunity to signal. And there are no questions at this time. We would like to thank everyone for attending, and this does conclude today's teleconference.